sacrifice. And in that time, all the Jews from all over came to the tabernacle in this sense. And then when they had built the temple back to the great temple in Jerusalem, and they all brought, they sacrificed doves, they sacrificed a lot of things, and it was constantly going on and on and on till the great day of atonement. And in that day of atonement, that's when that took place. Now let's go back 2,000 years ago, because I'm talking about a blood sacrifice. A trial had taken place in Pilate's hall. The high priest was in the temple functioning. The other priest was at the gate of Jerusalem with the goat, ready to hit it. And Jesus had been taken out to Calvary and nailed him to the cross outside of the camp. The cross was lifted up, and Jesus said, "It is finished." At that exact moment, the high priest was in the temple with this blood of this innocent lamb. And all of a sudden, because you see, the regular people were not supposed to see behind that veil. See, there's where the tent and the colors and all that was. And it tells me in the scriptures that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. Now that takes out all of the prepositions that somebody probably tore it at the bottom and it just kind of ripped and fell open. No, this thing was rent from the top to the bottom, and as a high priest was standing there with the blood getting ready to put it on the altar, the veil went open and everybody for the first time looked back there and nobody dropped dead. Nobody died. But at that exact moment on Calvary's mountain, Jesus said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. There was a mighty earthquake that shook. You see it? You see it? A mighty earthquake shook Jerusalem. And the Bible says many priests believed because they knew what was going on out on that Calvary Hill. They saw it. And there was a great company of priests that believed. I'm telling you that the sun blushed and went down in blood. Dead saints got out of the grave. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. Why today, church? Why today can't men see that? Amen. This was merely a type. When I speak about mercy's seat or the mercy seat, mercy took care of itself on Calvary and then sat down after the work was done. Now, what does this have to do with you? I'm going to talk a little bit about Stephen here, because the first martyr of the Christian church, when he looked up and saw mercy seat, he says, "Hey, I see Jesus now standing, not sitting, standing." Now, this is important in your spiritual life. When you make that decision to come to Jesus, mercy gets up off of his throne and stands up for you. When you make up in your mind, "Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow you," Jesus gets up off of his throne and looks down. Stephen said, "I see Jesus now standing at the right hand of the throne of grace." And he is ready now at mercy's seat to stand up and save you. And all you have to do is say, "Lord Jesus, I understand mercy now. I understand what you were trying to show Moses. I understand now, John, a little bit more about what Aaron and all that high priestly service in the temple was all about. John, now I understand when I see the Ark of the Covenant, what that was symbolic of. And let me tell you about this box of a shittim wood. And listen, when Israel went to battle, they took this Ark of the Covenant with them. God's Jeconah glory was there, and the priests just stood with the thing on their shoulders, and wherever that ark was, Israel won a battle. And it tells me in my Bible that a group of people, the Philistines, because of the Israelite sin, had stolen this Ark of the Covenant.
Amen.
Had stolen it. Now, when you read what happened to these pagans that stole this ark, it will blow your mind. All of them in town got an extreme case of hemorrhoids, bleeding hemorrhoids, ulcers and tumors, the Bible called it. And they said, "Brethren, we must take this thing back to God's people. This thing is too hot to hold." You know what that shows us? You cannot wedge off of Christianity. You can't take a little piece of my salvation. Oh, no, 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 no. You can't chance up on this thing and hope a little glory will rub off on you if you get next to a believer. You got to have this stuff for yourself. I'm telling you, just like a pagan would try to steal the ark and say, we have, you see, they thought that they had stolen Israel's God.
Yeah.
They hadn't stolen Israel's God. But what Israel's God did was gave them all bleeding hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
And they had to give that thing back. I'm telling you, don't try to wedge off a God like that. Just come and say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. In closing, there it was at the tabernacle that God gave audience to his people.
All right.
There it was in the tabernacle at the mercy seat that God would meet with the representative of his people. First Moses and then the high priest. And if you follow that right down the succession, the Jews, had, by the time Jesus had come on the scene, there was no more Shekinah glory because the Jews were so rebellious that the glory had left. The Jews were going through nothing but formalism. That's all it was. That's why Jesus came and said, now I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to God through a mercy seat. No man comes to God through a mundane high priest. No man comes to God through any other means but by me. Friend of mine, you can get on your knees and bow to the east all you want. You are not going to find God. Friend of mine, you can count your love beads. You will never come to know God. Friend of mine, you can quote Hare Krishna 15 million times before you drop dead. You will never know God. Come to him at his mercy seat. For the same Jesus that gave audience to the high priest is ready to give audience to some of you right now. He's right now ready to give audience to you. Amen. He saves you. He can keep you. He will inspire you to live and to work for his cause. And he will also enable you. And he will give you total victory, listen to me, in every area of your Christian life. He will solve all of your problems. Oh, John, what are you talking about? I said he will solve all of your problems. But you've got to trust him. When he solves your problems, they may not be the way you would solve them. Solving your problems does not mean a heavy bank account. Solving your problems means resting in his love. He will do all of those things. That's what you will find at Mercy Seat. He will give victory. He will help you to overcome. And now, right now, he is moving in some hearts that need to yearn for his presence. Will you come to Mercy Seat today? Is there any of you, young or old, man, woman, boy, or girl, who are old enough to understand what mercy is? Will you come to Christ this morning and let him fill you at Mercy Seat? We give you an opportunity to come. And as we give you an opportunity to come, we give you an opportunity to think on your sins. In coming, you are saying this: I come forth at this time and I take the Lord as Lord and Savior. He not only can save me, but he has become my Lord. That means, friend, whatever you read in this book, you will obey it. That means, friend, the commands and the legislature of God becomes your heart's desire. We give you an opportunity to come to Mercy Seat as the choir sings a verse of song. Coming to Christ means this. And I want to talk to you as they sing. Coming to Christ means that you are saying, listen to me, I don't want to listen to the devil anymore. He pays off with counterfeit money. His intention is to see me in hell, and I want to go to heaven where believers go. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care what my wife says. I don't care what my husband says. I'm going to follow Jesus. If it kills me, hallelujah. If you get up out of your seat and come forward after you ask Christ to come into your life right now, he will enable you for the rest of your life to shine for him. Trust me, you will start saying things like you've never said before. You will start believing God in such a way that you try to influence your children, your family, all those around you. In times of sorrow, he'll give you joy. In times of weakness, he will give you strength. Why won't you come to Christ? You don't know what tomorrow holds, folks. You better listen to me. You might think that you have eternity wrapped up, but tomorrow is not promised to you. Will you come to Christ?